We talked about it yesterday, just that chip on your shoulder. Everyone talking about a neutral AFC championship game, not even thinking about you guys. How much did that motivate you coming into this?
You better send those refunds.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. And, of course, we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. D-Mace, Willie D are here. How we doing?
Hey.
What's going on?
Nick Kieser is here as well. What's going on, Nick?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Doing good. What a fun weekend of football. Bengals taking down the Bills, the 49ers besting the Cowboys, a very, very boring blowout of an Eagles-Giants game. Patrick Mahomes goes down with a high ankle injury, comes back to beat the Jags. It was a fun, fun weekend of football. But if there is anything that I learned from this past weekend of football, it's who are the legit contenders at the quarterback position and who might be the pretenders. Because if you were not totally convinced about Joe Burrow being that dude, this weekend I think has to show you that. If you weren't convinced, and this is what I had always really believed about Dak Prescott, and I don't really know if everybody was on board with it, but maybe last night will show you that Dak is just a guy. That Dak just is what he is, and he can be a product of the pieces around him, but Dak Prescott is not going to be the guy that can step up in the most important moments. Your takeaways from the weekend of football.
Josh Allen isn't in the class of Joe Burrow and Mahomes. Not to say he's not a good quarterback, but he's just not in their class. It's evident. For the next 10 years, as I text you guys, this will be Brady Manning for the next 2 years, Mahomes and Burrow, Cincinnati and Kansas City for the next 10 years. These two teams, the road to the Super Bowl will go through these two teams, as it did when Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were at their respective teams. The road to the Super Bowl went through those two teams. Dallas, they can't catch a break. Dak is Dak. Dak is a good quarterback, but they just can't take a break. When Pollard goes down and Ezekiel has to be your workhorse, he's not the Zeke of 3-4 years ago. He's a good running back, but he's not that game-breaking running back. They needed Pollard.
In the moment that they needed Zeke to step up in that final, what I thought was supposed mm-hmm. to be a hook and lateral play, mm-hmm. you have one play on the line, your season's on the line, you could go to the NFC Championship game, and Zeke just gets thrown on the ground.
Well, it was a disadvantage to him. I understand why they did it, because he's still technically, he's not a part, he can't go downfield until the ball is released. I understand why they did it, because it's sort of, if he's on the line of scrimmage, sometimes you forget about that guy on the line of scrimmage mm-hmm. and he can end up making a big play for you. But he was at a disadvantage. A guy running full steam at you, you're in a center position trying to hike the ball. I mean, that was a no-win situation. No one should hold that against
Zeke. It was a bad
Zeke.
Play call yeah. all the way around. It was poor execution.
Exactly. So, beside that, the Giants are a up-and-coming team. They still are missing some pieces, more importantly, on the outside. Philadelphia is who we thought they were. They are a damn good team. Even when they can't throw the football, they are still dominant running it and dominant on defense. So it should be a very good weekend for the NFC and AFC championship games.
Yeah, I know we're going to get to that a little later, because you could argue that the four best teams have gotten there. Those are four yep. teams that are really playing excellent football right now. So that's going to be fun next weekend. I got to thinking, Derek, when you were texting about the, you got Mahomes against Burrow. They're not going anywhere for a while, either one of those guys. So if you're Rand Carthon, you come in and you're saying, I'm in the AFC. He basically was given a chance, if you wanted to say, yeah, we're going to retool some things. We're going to rebuild. He'd never used anything close to that. He wouldn't define exactly what they want to do, but he said, we want to go from good to great. It's basically what he said. But to get through the AFC in the coming years, you got to deal with Mahomes, Burrow, and even though Josh Allen had a dud yesterday, mm-hmm. there's 32 teams that would love to have
Josh Allen. He's still a top five quarterback.
He's right up there. I mean, he's a difference-making kind of quarterback. Not to mention if the Chargers ever got their act together with Herbert. I mean, he's a talent, right? Yeah. There's questions still for him. So it just shows you the AFC picture as we go forward here. And Jacksonville, we know, is on
they're
the
not
rise,
going
right?
Anywhere.
They're going to be in your own backyard, in your division, a team you're going to have to deal with. Pretty big challenge for a new GM. It's like if I'm Rand Carthon, those thoughts have to be going through your mind. For you know, how do I build this roster to deal with those guys? How do I get through those teams to reach our ultimate goal?
Absolutely.
Go get your quarterback. That's what.
And that's what, looking at this past weekend of football, looking at the teams that emerged victorious versus the teams that really struggled, I think the difference was the quarterback position. And the difference being one of my biggest gripes about Ryan Tannehill in the postseason is Josh Allen couldn't step up when the Bills needed him to step up. When the offense wasn't getting moving and the receivers were dropping passes, Josh Allen didn't look like superhero Josh Allen that we've seen him look like in the past. Look at Dak Prescott. Turned the ball over twice against the 49ers yesterday, and that was a close game. You take those turnovers away, and maybe that's the difference of the game. Dak wasn't able to step up in the biggest moments where they needed him most. And you look at Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow stepped up when the Bengals needed him. Patrick Mahomes, high ankle sprain, comes back out. He wins the game for the Chiefs. And that game wasn't just about Patrick Mahomes. That really was a full team effort from the Chiefs. But overall, looking at these clutch quarterbacks, the kind of guys that you're thinking, I don't care if the game is on the line and it's coming down to the wire, I trust my guys. You know, the Joe Burrows, even the Jalen Hurts that have kind of emerged over the last season. I think that I have seen is the biggest difference. And the biggest difference between Tannehill and the elite quarterbacks in the league absolutely was on display. Let's go back to last year when the Titans needed Ryan Tannehill to not have heroics, but just take care of the football and not turn the ball over three times. He couldn't do that. In the biggest moments, Tannehill hasn't seemed to step up. It's the same gripe about Dak Prescott, and it's the same criticism that we've seen from Josh Allen this year and the last couple of years, that the Bills are like that Cinderella team every single year at the beginning of every single season. The Bills are the team to beat. They're the Super Bowl favorite. They were my pick to win the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. And they just can't get past the Burrows and the Mahomes of the AFC. And that, I think, is the biggest difference and will continue to be the biggest difference as long as Tannehill is the quarterback of this football team. This football team is not going to be carried by some elite quarterback like the Bengals are, like the Chiefs are. And those teams are really hard to beat when you don't have that guy. We don't have that elite quarterback that you can fall back on and say, in the biggest moments, that's my guy.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the question that was asked of Rand Carthon last week, can you, you know, build a championship team around a running back? What do you think he was supposed to say? No. But he understands, and he said it, this league, you got to have your quarterback. You get fired for not having one, and you get hired for having the greatest one. You know, you sustain your job if you have that coach, that quarterback. So when the question is posed to you in regards to a running back in Derrick Henry, you're not going to say, nah, you can't build it around a running back. You're going to see exactly what he said because of, you know, Derrick Henry has skins on the wall. He understands, you know, this is a back that don't come around too many times. But in saying that, Derrick Henry is closer to the end of his career than he is to the beginning of his career. And building a team around him, you tried that 4 years ago and see what got you. You need your quarterback, and he understands that. That's why he said after that, this is a quarterback-driven league. You don't have your quarterback, you get fired. You have your quarterback, you may win a Super Bowl and keep your job. So, people, you can't build a team, a championship team, if you don't have that quarterback. You just can't for the long run. Why? Because running back shelf life is short. Quarterback shelf lives are very long. So you had that window in Derrick Henry to maximize, and you didn't. Why? Because you didn't have a quarterback. You didn't have that quarterback that can lead you. And then you didn't have other pieces. Everything wasn't working together. When you had a great offense, your defense was, When you had a great defense, your offense was, You got to have that quarterback to sort of to level the playing field. In the AFC, Willie said it. You got Mahomes. You got Burrow. You got Allen. You got Lawrence. You got the quarterback.
Lamar.
You got the Chargers quarterback. You got six or seven quarterbacks right now that are better than yours. Get your damn quarterback. Ryan knows it, but he can't say it loud. But he understands it. Vrabel understands it. But they haven't been in a position to get their quarterback until this year. They need to get him.
It's interesting. And if you look at the – you because the way I would say it would be, if you look through the history, there are a lot of examples of teams that
well,
are
new
won
football,
big in the players.
New football, Willie. The new football, you got to have your quarterback. Old football, yeah. You didn't.
No, I think that's true. But even in the old times, mm-hmm. You know, you look at the guys who won Super Bowls, yeah. Got there a lot. It's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you've Bob Greasy and Ken Stabler and, you know, Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw. I mean, Joe Montana. I mean, those teams definitely did really well. What I was thinking was, you know, you can, and this is what the 49ers are trying to do right now. They're trying to have a roster that's good enough to overcome the fact that they don't have that guy. You know, they got a third-string quarterback, and this is where it's really going to be tough for him. He's going into Philadelphia. Can he get it done this weekend, or is he now going to be separated, right? Is that going to be the 49ers story? Well, if we had the quarterback, look, we had everything else. But so there's a lot on Purdy this weekend. He's done it. He's an amazing story. Got it done. Again, yesterday. Wasn't spectacular, but he was steady. And then you got the Jalen Hurts story. He's not a guy that they move mountains to draft, right? He was a second-round pick. He was out there for everybody. He had question marks. But, man, he's turned into one of these guys. He's like an NFL MVP-type guy. And so where he's going to fit in the next 5 years will be really interesting to me, because the Eagles hit the jackpot because they're not invested financially real big in him. And so they had the money to build the roster in other places. That's a great way to build a champion. We talked about Russell Wilson's heyday. That's who he was, right? A non-first-round pick who came on, and they had a really good roster around him. So that's the only way you can get around not having the franchise quarterback, right?
And I think you can group Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts both in that same kind of conversation of they're not elite quarterbacks. If you would have asked me my assessment of Jalen Hurts this time last year, I would have said, you know, probably below, yeah. Ryan Tannehill.
Well, how close is he to elite? I think that's a fair question, right? Because he keeps getting better,
but,
right?
But if y'all watch, here's the deal.
I want to continue this conversation coming up next.
Because I think it's a great question. Is how good is he, really?
Because right now, in this time of the playoffs, this time of the postseason, that's when you get separated between the elite quarterbacks and the quarterbacks that are carried. Plus, a trend that I see happening in the AFC and what that means for the Titans. I want to get into all of that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, your calls, your texts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
And ever since he got the deal, we've been waiting for him to ascend to that next tier, the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allen, the Joe Burrow tier, and that's just not who he is. And this is the reason, and I hate to repeat it again, this is the reason we said Kellen Moore, think Cooper Rush at quarterback, and allow Dak to play you outside of the X's and O's every now and again.
Right.
It's not a game that they should have put on Dak's shoulder, but the problem is this. When you build the team around him that you do, when CeeDee Lamb is truly your one and only go-to receiver, when Tony Pollard is actually the guy and he's out, now you have to be foundational in your play call. You have to find a base in your schematics. And Kellen Moore didn't do that. And so now Dak, standing from the pocket, had to do all of the things this season, Dan, that you pointed out the regression in. And that regression now has the Dallas Cowboys at home.
There you go. That was Ryan Clark on Get Up This Morning saying, hey, we've all been waiting for the Cowboys to get past this hump. We've all been waiting for Dak to be the guy that, you know, he is the savior of this team. And it just hasn't come to fruition.
First of all, I have to laugh at this song because all I think of is the Saturday Cowbell? Night Live, the Cowbell. And recently at a Preds game, the band, between periods, was playing this song. And we kept looking. We're like, come on, somebody's got to come in with a cowbell. But they didn't have the cowbell guy. That would have just brought the house down. It was a really good band. They were playing a lot of songs from this era. So a lot of people were like, okay, yeah, I like it. But it was we kept looking for Will Ferrell.
Didn't
and he
come
just
out.
Wasn't
and
there.
His crop top.
Yeah. But isn't it fun? Like, I have to say, it is fun when the Cowboys lose because people go nuts. They're such a lightning rod.
They're the villains.
They are the villains. And it's been so long since they've had big wins in the playoffs. So you think about the pain that every fan base gets. You know, the word, I think, is the German word Schadenfreude. You hear that? You kind of take pleasure in other people's pain.
It's the same Alabama effect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everyone just has Alabama fatigue.
The Cowboys are that team. Unless you're a Cowboy. Sorry, Chase. I know Chase is probably listening.
Yeah, sorry, Chase.
I don't know. Sorry. I'm going to go easy on you a little bit. But it's the pain and the craziness of the Cowboys, it's so exacerbated, right? Every flaw when they lose is under the microscope. Like Dak, there's no question. Being the quarterback for that team, you talk about being under the microscope. He's going to be hearing it for the entire year because he's been hearing it.
And I think it's like a double-edged sword when you're the quarterback of the Cowboys because you are going to be inspected under a microscope. But I think that Dak Prescott almost benefits from that because I feel like the national perception of Dak Prescott is that he belongs in the same tier as the Burrows, the Mahomes, the Josh Allens. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think that a lot of people look at Dak through, you know, Cowboys blue tinted glasses and think that he's a step above what he really is. And I think yesterday just proved, and the Cowboys' continuous postseason woes prove that Dak Prescott really is, you know, he is what he is. He is a culmination of the pieces around him. And they're not going to get further than where they are whenever Dak can't elevate them. And I just don't think that Dak is that kind of quarterback. I view Ryan Tannehill in a very similar light, that he can get you to a certain point, but Ryan Tannehill cannot single-handedly get you to that next step. It is simply a culmination of the pieces around him. But what I think is really interesting is I view Jalen Hurts that same way. That Jalen Hurts is just a culmination of the pieces around him. That this time last year, I thought Jalen Hurts was, you know, in the second, third of quarterbacks in the league. Like, he's not elite, not great, he's fine. In the same, like, kind of Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan kind of tier, he's fine. He's fine, he's not great, he's not elite. But Jalen Hurts being a quarterback that really, I think, is just a sum of his wide receivers and his offensive line, and he looks like an MVP candidate.
Yeah, it's interesting. I you think through history, Demis, I do think there are guys who you would not say are elite quarterbacks. But for a particular postseason, you can step up in a postseason. Mm-hmm. I think that's reasonable to think that could happen. Like, not everybody is going to – you don't just replace every quarterback because they're not elite. If you did, everybody would be replacing their quarterback other than about five or six teams each year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there are quarterbacks who step up. Like, Nick Foles had the real hot postseason a few years ago. Last time the Eagles won it with Doug Peterson, he was the magical guy. Right, he played great all the way through. It's not like he just handed the ball off and they ran it 40 times. He made plays, right, in every postseason game. So that's what you're hoping for when you don't have the guy that you're expecting that. Even some of the elite guys. Brett Favre had some great postseasons. He had some awful postseasons where he threw three or four interceptions in the game. So there, it does vary when you're on that big stage. And I don't think it's inconceivable that someday, even though I'm not a Cowboys fan, but Dak Prescott could go out next year and have a great postseason. Josh Allen could redeem himself next year in the postseason. Mm-hmm. These guys are human, right? It is a bummer, though, when you have a really good regular season, you've got it all lined up, like the Titans were in that situation last year, and the quarterback has the bad game when it happens. That's such a dagger right there.
Yeah, I mean, Dak is... The Cowboys have been making mistakes with Dak for the last couple of years. One of the biggest mistakes, and then our offensive line is beat up too, but the last couple of years, when they chose not to keep Amari Cooper, their passing game started to suffer because Amari Cooper was a number one receiver. And then you add CeeDee Lamb, now you have two of the best receivers in the National Football League on one team. And when you remove one of those and try to implement someone else, your passing game is going to fall off somewhat. So Dallas made that mistake, okay? And then Pollard gets hurt last night, and their offense just go even further downhill. If you've watched Dak over the years, even in college, the jump he made from his junior year to his senior or his sophomore year to his junior, I think he might have came out early. I don't know. But either way, the year before he came out, he was an okay quarterback. The year he came out, he was a much better quarterback. And he's sort of going through this same thing with Dallas. He is one of those quarterbacks. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he's better than Ryan Tannehill. But still with Ryan Tannehill, you need pieces around him. And Dak, you need pieces around him too. Jalen Hurts is there. If you've watched Jalen Hurts in college, each and every year he's gotten better. And it's been the same thing in the NFL. Each and every year he's gotten better. This guy, had he not gotten hurt, he might still win the MVP, but if he hadn't gotten hurt, he should have been clear-cut the MVP because he was on the best. He was the best player on the best team. And what he was doing, no other quarterback was doing from a run standpoint and from a pass standpoint. To me, this season, I'm not talking about the totality of his career. This season, he has been an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
Because to me, if you take him off this team and put Burrow on his team, this is the same team. You took him off this team and put Mahomes on his team, it's the same team. You put Josh Allen on his team, it might not be the same team. Why? Because Josh Allen is reckless with the football, okay? You take who else we consider that top tier? You put him on his team.
Brady, Rodgers. Yes,
yeah, they are the same team, okay? Which tells me Jalen Hurts is ascending to it's still gonna take a minute, but he's ascending to that level of quarterback that only two guys are in now. I'm not saying he's getting there, but I'm not going to just say that, oh, it's all AJ Brown and it's all Devontae Smith and the defense. AJ Brown had three catches last night for like 12 yards. I don't know. They won that game. Why? Because of their defense and Jalen Hurts. What he's able to do, it's hell trying to defend Jalen Hurts. Why? Because he can pass the football and he can run the football. His football IQ is high. It is so high that he doesn't need to throw the football, that he can do other things and make you win. So to me, this year, he's been an elite quarterback. I don't know what he's going to do next year. I don't care what he did last year, but this year, he's been an elite quarterback, right with Burrow, right with Mahomes. Now, people may disagree with me, but look at where his team is. He's the best team. When he wasn't on the field, what happened? They lost. When he's on the field, they win.
And I think with Jalen Hurts, my question remains, has he ascended naturally, that he just needed a few years in this system with this coach to settle into the league? Because sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the difference between quarterbacks that can get you to a championship and are simply just, you know, the result of the pieces around them versus elite quarterbacks, like how I view Joe Burrow or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
Joe Burrow, those without Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Boyd, he's a good quarterback. I'm not going to take that away from him. The guy is damn good. But without those three guys, you put Treylon Burks and Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook Aquino on that Cincinnati team. They're 8-9 or 9-8 and barely make the playoffs.
I don't think so.
Yes, they are.
I don't think they're
9-8. People don't get these receivers. Jamar Chase is the best receiver in the National Football League.
He's good.
He is the best. T. Higgins is a top 10 receiver. Tyler Boyd is a top 20 receiver. Their tight end is damn good. Only thing really holding them back at times is their offensive line. Yes. This team is whoever's running this team, the GM, he did a hell of a job putting this team together, because you do have an elite quarterback, mm-hmm. but you got elite receivers too.
Now, and on the Hurts thing, it's interesting how he kind of snuck up on everybody, mm-hmm. because they made the playoffs last year and he was a part of it, but nobody was sitting there going, hey, wow, this is a rising star right here. It's kind of like, hey, nice story. He's mm-hmm. didn't know if he was going to be able to start in the league, but hey, he's doing pretty well. And then he just, like you said, he's ascending. He keeps getting better. And I think it's right guy, right scheme, and the right weapons around him. I think that is a formula. If you don't have the superstar quarterback, that you can still win big. And the Eagles or the 49ers are going to go to the Super Bowl with a quarterback that is not the high first round pick, that is the franchise guy we're building around, right? So they're going to at least get a crack at it to win a title without that guy. So it shows you it can be done.
It can, and that's how the Rams won the Super Bowl last year. Matthew Stafford's good, not great. He's not an elite quarterback.
I know. I was surprised people were saying he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think but he was a first overall pick, let's remember. But
yes,
he was acquired later in his career, and I kind of agree with you. I don't see him as a mm-hmm. as a superstar franchise guy.
But he had Cooper
He was an
Cup.
Upgrade for what they had, and you're right. They won because of their roster.
And an elite defense, best pass rusher in the league. So you can win Super Bowls that way with a quarterback that is a game manager. And I don't mean that in a derogatory term, but simply a quarterback that does his job, doesn't turn the football over. You have elite pieces around them. That's what I want to know about Jalen Hurts. Are you the elite quarterback that can elevate pieces around you? Or are you what you were before A.J. Brown joined that team? And before the run game really evolved into what it was this year, where you are a good, not great quarterback that looks elite with elite pieces around him. I see your phones lining up. We are right to your phones coming up next. 615-737-1025 if you have a thought on that. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Hey, Preds fans, hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025-1063 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Right to your phones, as promised, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wilson is up next. What's up, Wilson?
Wilson!
Yes, ma'am. My biggest takeaway from this weekend was our new general manager was on the sideline of a possible Super Bowl contender that he helped build.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Wilson. And I think that should make Titans fans feel really good about themselves, that San Francisco is headed back to the NFC Championship game for a third year in a row with a seventh-round quarterback, third-string quarterback at the helm. That 49ers team has built up so much success. Even after a few really down years, I mean, look at 2020. They were, 6-10 that year? A couple of years before, they really struggled before they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. So I look at what the 49ers have built and where Rand Carthon is coming from, and I think you have to feel encouraged about it.
Yeah, it was a good roster build. They had the Super Bowl in 2019 with Garoppolo. Then the next year, I believe that was the year Garoppolo got hurt, and they had BGA. He had some issues. They had a lot of people get hurt. So that was kind of a lost season. They've bounced back the last couple of years. But it was interesting knowing that Rand Carthon was a GM and watching the 49ers and saying, okay, how have they done it? And as we said on Friday, it's unique that they've won a lot of games without ever having the elite quarterback. As good as Garoppolo has been, they've kind of had their eye on how do we get a better quarterback than Garoppolo, right? But in the meantime, they've won a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, getting to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, who I don't view as any sort of upgrade from Ryan Tannehill, and here we are saying Ryan Tannehill can't get you to a Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, the things have to be perfect around your quarterback in those situations, just like Brock Purdy. Things have to be perfect around Brock Purdy. He has a skill set to play in this league, but I think because of his youth, it's going to take the totality of the team to win a Super Bowl. A guy can get you to the Super Bowl that is not elite, but in order to win it, everything has to work out perfectly for you. Everything worked out perfectly for the Rams last year. Everything worked out perfectly, say, for the Ravens, when they won in, I think, 2012. When you don't have that quarterback, your margin of error is very slim. San Fran's margin of error is very slim. You can even, when you were watching a game yesterday and you listened to the telecast, there was things that Kyle Shanahan wasn't doing because he didn't want to put the pressure on his quarterback. Why? Because he doesn't have that elite quarterback. So they chose to run the ball more than try to pass the ball, especially toward the latter part of the third and into the fourth quarter, where the game was still tight somewhat, but they chose to run the football. Why? Because Kyle knows that Brock Purdy doesn't have what it takes right now to lead his team to win a game by himself. So what are we going to do? We're going to play hell of a defense. And DeNico Ryans, he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. He might be gone, too, after this season.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know he's gotten at least one head coaching interview, if not
exactly.
multiple.
Exactly. So their defense is playing lights out. He's choosing to run the football because he doesn't want to put the pressure on Brock Purdy. Again, Can you get to an NFC or AFC championship game without having that elite quarterback? Yes. Can you get to the Super Bowl? Yes. But everything has to work perfectly. The margin of error is very slim when you don't have that guy.
And let's give another shout out to a great football player on the 49ers, George Kittle, who
that
spends
catch.
A lot of time. Yes, who spends a lot of time here, right? Mm-hmm. It's a well-told story. He and Philip Forsberg are really good buddies. He's a little wacky, but man, a great catch yesterday. But what I've always loved about him, he plays so hard. He's got to keep his body together. He's missed some time from injuries the last couple years. But when he's on the field, he's the elite pass catcher, but he's an amazing blocker too. If you watch him, man, he gets out there. He's hammering people like an extra offensive lineman. He gets up the field. So he's such a key weapon for them. And I love the interview they did after the game. It was one of the better post-game interviews you see. Now, Burrow had maybe the line of the day with the refund thing that we played earlier. That was good.
Awfully sassy,
but
didn't he?
I love how he kind of – Purdy kind of knows his place. You know, he's deferring to the older guys. He's kind of like, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just trying to do the best I can. But Kittle's the guy kind of revving up. He's pumping up Purdy, but he's showing his personality. You got to love when you get something out of those – interviews after the game, and it's not like, yeah, we worked hard, we're fortunate, our job's not done, we got to go out and do it again next week. I mean, he's got flair. That's what I appreciate about Kittle. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to your phones. LD and McMinnville's up next.
Hey, guys, real quick. I know Derek was talking about building something around a running game, or Henry, per se. I guess, if I'm not mistaken, all four teams that remain have a solid running game, right? Probably not the star power of a Henry, but all four have a pretty solid running game. But I guess what I want to say was that I know fans and other people are clamoring for the Titans to run it back with Tannehill. I personally don't believe that if you run it back with Tannehill, you're going to be in position next year to get the Titans version of Burrow, Mahomes, Herbert, and those guys. I'll let you guys speak on it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, LD.
Thank you, LD. Again, Derrick Henry is still a top 3-2 back. He might still be the best runner in the National Football League, but he's wearing down. And the more you ask him to do, the harder it's going to get for him moving forward. So, again, I go back to what, you know, the question that was asked of Rand Carthon. Can you build a team around, you know, the running back? What is he supposed to say? Derrick Henry right now is a borderline Hall of Famer. He has over 1,300 yards next season. He's no doubt a Hall of Famer. So what are you going to say? Well, we can't build it around our Hall of Fame running back. No, he's going to say, yes, we can.
And he is a former running back.
Absolutely.
Son
so
of
he's
a former
little bit,
running back.
He's a little bit biased in that sense. but then when you ask him the question about Ryan Tannehill, well, I got to evaluate it because he understands that. Yeah, I know what I said 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. I know I said that. But I know in this league, if you don't have a quarterback, you get fired in this league. GM, head coach, eventually you get fired. We need to get a quarterback. He didn't say we need to get a quarterback, but he's in that evaluation stage. So to me, your chance of winning with Derrick Henry as the sole sort of breadwinner, it passed. It's gone. You could have did it 2 or 3 years ago. Those days are gone. Can you now win with him being a sole bread? No. You need that quarterback. Or you need a hell of an offensive line, some pass catchers, and a hell of a defense to do the same thing San Francisco is doing. That's the only way that you're going to be able to win. And then, again, the margin of error is very slim. So you're at the 11th pick right now. You can possibly try to move up some spots. Get your quarterback because everyone else with at least six teams in this AFC conference has their franchise quarterback. And you're the seventh team, and you don't have yours yet. You need to find them and find them very quick, or you will be left behind.
And this is, I think, an essential question that Rand Carthon has to come to grips with, and every GM does. Mm-hmm. When GMs talk, good GMs not only are thinking about next week, next month, next year, but also you want to have 3 years at least, right? You want to be thinking out 3 years. How does my cap look next year? How does it look in 2 years, 3 years? You have to have the big picture as well as the immediate picture. So the question is, do I have to go after the quarterback this year? Or could I wait a year? Will the quarterback market look better next year with the upcoming guys coming through the draft, with the potential free agents? What does that look like compared to this year? Because I do think people have made the mistake of saying, okay, look, we're going to get our quarterback this year. And then they go to the draft, and that quarterback just isn't there, right? But they take a guy in the first round because, like, hey, we got to get the quarterback, and they miss on that guy. So that and we don't know how – you never know, right? There's no easy answer to that. But I do think that's a question, is how bad do we have to get the quarterback of the future this year? Or can I buy a I'm new. I just got here. Can I take an extra year, buy a year with Tannehill, see what Malik Willis looks like before I go ahead and find that guy? If I think the quarterback market's going to be way better this year, because I think we're looking at the quarterback market this year and wondering, can you get high enough in the first round to get a guy who's truly a game changer? And is there a free agent who's an upgrade from Tannehill? I don't know. What does it look like this year compared to next year?
And I think that Rand Carthon and the entire Titans organization already knows the answer to that question. I don't think that Rand Carthon would have gotten the general manager job if he didn't see eye to eye along with Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Vrabel's vision of what they want to do moving forward. I think they know what they want to do, but they're not saying it. But I do think, too, you know, the caller's point about, well, if we run it back with Tannehill, that's not going to get us any closer to finding our Burrow or our Mahomes. If the Titans do run it back with Ryan Tannehill, I don't think that that's a last-ditch effort to try and win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. I do think, however, it's we don't see a free agent that we think is worth it, that is a step up from Ryan Tannehill. We don't want to dish out the picks that it would take to trade for a quarterback or to move up in this year's draft. And we also don't think that there's a quarterback in this year's draft that is the future of our franchise. Maybe Will Levis. They view as our guy, we're building our team around him. If so, they're going to go for it. But if any of those three things don't come to fruition, a free agent that's worth it, a trade that's worth it, or a quarterback in the draft that's worth it, you run it back with Tannehill, build around him so that quarterback of the future comes in with an upgraded offensive line and an upgraded pass-catching unit. But coming up next, Demace, you make a good point about the run game. And I think that this past weekend proved a point that was made about the running game and how successful you can be doing it. And I want to get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, Demace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You played running back. Your dad was one of the best running back coaches and offensive coordinator. Do you think a team can win a Super Bowl in today's NFL built around a running back?
Yeah. I mean, I joke and I say, you know, it's cute to play, you know, Golden State Warriors football on, you know, October, September. But when those conditions change and you can't throw the ball up and down the yard, you better be able to run it and you better be able to defend it. And I think if you look at the teams that are in the playoffs that are still playing at this stage, everybody's able to run the ball. So I think, you know, that you can win championships that way.
There you go. That was Titans' new general manager, Rand Carthon, at his introductory press conference saying, hey, you can win championships running the ball. D-Mace, you're shaking your head.
No, because he said every team that was in a playoff at that particular time could run the football. The Buffalo Bills can't run the football, and we know that.
But that's exactly the point that I want to get to, is I think that the football that we saw this past weekend only solidifies Rand Carthon's point that you better be able to run the football if you want to win a championship. Look at the Bengals-Bills game. Rand Carthon mentions, I don't know if it was in that clip or at some point in the press conference, he said, you know, you're going to be in rain, you're going to be in 20-degree weather, you're going to be in the elements where sometimes it's not necessarily opportune to throw the football. You're going to have to run the ball. What did we see yesterday in Buffalo? Cold, snowy, wet. The difference between Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and the Bengals and the Bills, the Bengals got the run game going. The Bills could not get the run game going. The Bills have not invested at all in their run game. That's not really how they're built. But that, I think, was the difference. The Bengals ran for almost 300 yards. The Bills struggled. I believe their leading rusher on the day was Josh Allen with like 30-something yards on the day. You look at the difference in the 49ers and the Cowboys yesterday. Those are two really talented defensive teams. Not a whole lot of yards put up in that game. But Christian McCaffrey was still able to find the end zone. That San Francisco was able to take almost 8 minutes off the clock on a 64-yard drive by pounding and running the ball. That, I think, is the difference. Even though you may believe that you can't win a Super Bowl if your running back is the guy, mm-hmm. if you are a running back-centric team, but I think this past weekend of football has only solidified Rand Carthon's point of you might not be able to only run the football, but you better be able to at least have an opportunity or a go-to guy in the run game. Because look at the three of the four teams mm-hmm. in the playoffs. Eagles, solid run game with Miles Sanders. The Bengals were able to get the run game going when they needed it to. Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, two solid backs, and also two very mobile quarterbacks. The Chiefs don't really have a huge run game, but when you have Patrick Mahomes zipping the ball all over the place, maybe you don't need a run game.
They can run it just enough.
Just enough to get past. And then, of course, the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey, and it's a fairly run-heavy team.
Well, you, in listening to Rand Carthon, he says yes, but then he sort of backtracks it a little and says, you know, you can't play Golden State football late in the season because of the conditions sometimes. Here's the deal. You need to have a run game. You do. You need to have the ability to run the football. Let's say that. You need to have the ability to run the football. But he didn't mention these teams that are in the playoffs, at least three of them or two of them have elite quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. It's two teams. Patrick doesn't need to run the football. I mean, he will run the football just because they have to run the football and keep people honest. But if they know, if they want to win games, it's on Patrick Mahomes. He has to win, and he has proven he can do it. Joe Burrow. Mixon is a damn good running back. And they use him in such a way, especially this weekend. They kept it balanced. Here's why you need an elite quarterback. Without Joe Burrow, Buffalo stacks the line. Mixon gets no yards. With Joe Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Boyd, I can't stack the line. I got to back up. That's what he's not telling you. That's what he's not telling. He's not telling you the whole big picture that, yes, I got to be able to run a football, but when I have my quarterback and I got my receivers, you going to back up. You ain't going to stack that line of scrimmage. Why? Because the minute you stack that line of scrimmage, Joe Burrow threw for almost 300 yards last night in the snow, two touchdowns, should have been three.
Should have been three.
Don't tell me you don't need a quarterback. Don't tell me you can do it with the running game alone. You can't.
But I don't think that's what he's saying is that you can't. You don't need a quarterback.
You have to have.
Needs balance.
You have to have the ability to be able to run the football. Your offense can't be based around that. You got to have that elite quarterback. Unless, again, I keep saying it, I don't know why people don't listen to me. The margin of error is very slim when you don't have your elite quarterback. Ask the Titans 2 years ago or last year. The margin of error is very slim, even if you have a Derrick Henry. Everything better go right. But at least with an elite quarterback, the margin of error isn't as slim. They're going to back up. Why? Because they're scared my elite quarterback is going to dice him up, and then I can get a ball to Derrick Henry or Hilliard or Hassan Haskins. But I got to have that guy underneath center to make sure he gives me the edge. He makes everybody honest. The Titans don't have a quarterback that makes everybody honest. Cincinnati has that guy. Buffalo has that guy in a sense. Kansas City has that guy. Philadelphia has that guy now. You got to have a guy that's going to keep them honest. And the running back doesn't do it. It's the quarterback that keeps everybody honest. So, yes, you got to have some form of a running game. San Fran is showing you. They use running back by committee.
Yep.
Philly sort of use a running back, absolutely. You know, back committee, even though they do have one guy, but they sprinkle everybody else in. You can have a effective running game, but you better have your quarterback.
And you can have an effective running game without big money invested exactly. in the individual running backs. I think that is a philosophical question. I think we would all agree you do have to be able to run it mm-hmm. to win, at least – balance, mm-hmm. right? We look at the Chiefs. Ivan Pacheco, right? He's a rookie that they got in the middle of the draft somewhere, wasn't even really in the plans early, then Edwards-Helaire got hurt, and now who's the guy running the ball? It's Pacheco, but he's not running it a lot, but he's not bad, right? He's like, okay,
he's a strong runner.
He can keep you honest.
He's a strong physical runner.
Yep, and then you got McKinnon, the veteran, who's more the pass catcher. So you got a little committee, and what's invested in those two guys? It's not even close to what you're investing in Derrick Henry, but you're getting pretty good production out of that. The Eagles, I'm trying to look and see where Miles Sanders is, where he is on the
chart of making money.
Yeah, I'm looking at SpotRack. Where is he? I'm trying to find him on here, trying to see what he makes. But I'll bet you he doesn't make a whole lot. He's just the right guy who does his job. He's not even always in there. They've got Boston Scott and the other two or three other guys that play.
Then the quarterback.
And then the quarterback is a great runner. So they have a great running game, but it is not centered around one running back. So I think that's really Rand Carthon, what he's got to be looking at going forward, is how do you have a good running game, but where does it fit in the grand scheme of having a good offense, right? You got to be able to have that element, but what do I invest in it, and who's my quarterback, and what's my scheme?
And you also look at the 49ers. They're paying Christian McCaffrey $16 million a year. He's the highest paid running back in the league.
Right, and that wasn't their contract that they signed. They traded for him, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But he's a difference maker.
But they're still running back by – they still use two of them.
Elijah Mitchell is, what, sixth round pick or seventh round pick or whatever he is.
Yeah, and so while – D-Mace, you're right. Mm-hmm. You can't just not have a quarterback. And adding an elite quarterback into the conversation, I think anyone would take that elite quarterback and then whatever else versus not elite quarterback and whatever else. But – looking at, you know, the Bills-Bengals game, I would say Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, both elite quarterbacks. The difference in the game yesterday was the run game. Is Joe Mixon elite running back? No, he is not. But at least has the fear of a run game or the fallback of a run game as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get your calls, your texts, your thoughts on that. But coming up next, a little bit of inconsistency at the referee position in the NFL over the past few weeks. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.